Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. We appreciate the presence of everyone, and we're especially grateful for our visitors. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you've chosen to come and worship the Lord on the first day of the week, and it's encouraging to be able to come in and worship God in a dry place. We've had some rainy weather. We've had some wet weather lately, but it's good to be able to come in and serve the Lord. We appreciate your presence this morning. The devil wants us to give up. The devil wants us to quit. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about never giving up, not quitting in the things that are important for us in life. And we need that encouragement from time to time. And James encouraged the brethren there in James chapter 5. Be like Job. Be like the prophets. Don't give up. Endure. Keep pressing on. We need that encouragement from time to time. And it's like climbing a mountain. The reward will be at the top. And so the struggles and the trials that we go through in life, we need encouragement from time to time to not give up. We sang in a couple of our songs dealing with temptation and how that we need to bear through that and undergo that and go through that. And I must tell Jesus, take it to Him, get help with those matters. We can make it through those difficult things, even involving temptation. And we'll talk about even that this morning. Never give up. We find that admonition in Job. In Job chapter 2, the devil comes to God there and says that I can get a hold of Job. And especially in verse 6, Jehovah said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thy hand, only spare his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of Jehovah and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his head. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself therewith. And he sat among the ashes. Then his wife said unto him, Do you still hold fast your integrity? When the Greeks translated the Old Testament about 300 years before the time of Christ, when they translated that verse, they used the word hold out. Do you still hold out, his wife said? And that's a good translation. To hold on, to hold out. Are you still going to hold out? Are you still going to hold on? My version says hold fast your integrity. The answer was yes, Job would do that all the way to the end. And so James says that his latter end was blessed. Come with me to Luke chapter 8. So we see the devil working in there. I'm going to try to get Job to give up. Look at the parable of the sower. We find the same thing there. The devil wants us to give up. And we find all throughout Scripture that really is his tactic. That is his trial. That is his approach. In the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, after the seed has been sown, which is the Word of God, and the soils represent the hearts of men, after the Word of God is sown in the hearts of men, the devil comes right along, and those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil. You underscore that in your Bible. That's a great sermon right there. Then cometh the devil. When does he come? He came in the Garden of Eden when everything was fine. He came to Job when things were bad. He came when Jesus was in the wilderness. Okay. He comes to Judas on the night of Jesus' betrayal. Satan entered into him, John 13. Then cometh the devil. He likes to come along. And so then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart that they may not be saved. And those on the rock are those who have heard and have received the word with joy, but have no root. And for a while they endure and believe, but in time of temptation they fall away. He wants us to get us to fall away, to not complete that seed to its fruit. He wants to take that away. He wants us to give up. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter says that Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And one means of devouring folks is getting them just simply to give up. I'm just getting tired. And so the admonition this morning is, don't give up. When we turn in the Word of God, we find three areas that Paul addresses in the New Testament with regard, three activities that require endurance, the first one being farming. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. And I think of the farmers in Robertson County over the past few weeks that have had a lot of wet weather. No doubt they will be replanting seed. Farmers have to go through a lot. It requires a lot of endurance. You've either got to go through cold weather or hot weather. You've got to go through drought, or in the case of recently, just a lot of heavy rain. Mr. Johnson out on Aug Road has had his hay cut for 2 weeks, and he still hadn't been able to do anything with it. It's just sitting there day after day, wet. He just can't do anything with it. I hope he doesn't lose it. They have to endure all kinds of extreme conditions, all kinds of unforeseen conditions. But farming is one of those activities that requires endurance, and so Paul uses it as an example. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. There's your farmer's reference. We shall reap if we faint not. Farming is difficult work. A lot of folks are getting out of farming because it's hard. It takes a lot of endurance. And the same figure was used in our scripture reading. Look again at James chapter 5. Farming requires endurance. And so that illustration is used to describe the life of a Christian, like farming. We plant the seed. We have to, you have to do a lot of work to get that seed to grow, to fruition, and to the harvest. And so in James chapter 5, what does the farmer wait for? The husbandman, the farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient or enduring over it until it receive the early and latter rain. We got to wait. You got to work. And in some conditions, you've got to work hard. And as much time as we've lived here, I've seen a few years where farmers got to replant that corn seed, especially. It's rotting right now in the ground. They're going to have to replant some of that. It takes a lot of work. Another activity in the New Testament that Paul uses as an illustration is running. It takes a lot of endurance. You have to endure uphill and downhill. You have to endure maybe bodily injuries. Your legs hurting. Your knees hurting. Your lungs are hurting. You've got to go through conditions that are extreme. And so running is used as an activity that requires endurance. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And it's the distance running. It's not the short sprint. Being a Christian is about a long distance race. It's not about a little 50-yard dash. When we're baptized into Christ, it's a long distance race. And that's what takes a lot of endurance. And so Paul uses that as an illustration in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. Every man that striveth in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not uncertainly, and I fight, not as beating the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. Or one version I like says that I might be disqualified, to use the race term again, or the term that would be associated with the Olympic Games. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. We have to run the race that is before us, just like Jesus did. That takes endurance. And like farming, there are conditions, and in some cases, extreme conditions, that we have to work through and press through to get to the goal line. A third activity that Paul uses is that of battling. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul has a lot to say about being a soldier of Christ. And you look about wars. You look about the matter of being a soldier. That takes endurance. Listen, look at our soldiers that fight in the armed forces. And sometimes we pray for them, and we need to do that. And we're thankful for our men and women in the military who serve us and give us a blanket of freedom to rest under every evening in our nation. We should appreciate them, and some involve our own brethren. You think about what they go through. Some here have served in the military. You think about what they go through. Again, heat and cold, rain and hot conditions, and being out in the weather and being out in the elements. The soldier is used as an illustration for being a Christian in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier. Where's the hardship coming in? The soldier, even today, with better equipment and better uniforms and better things to wear, even the soldier in today's military has to suffer hardship. There are things that they have to endure to fight for freedom. So that is likened again to the Christian. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. They go through a lot. Look at chapter 4 and verse 8, where Paul puts two of these together. He puts the running together with the soldiering in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. There's your battling. And it takes endurance to fight the good fight of the faith. And we'll talk about some of those things later. It takes endurance to stand for truth. It takes endurance to uphold truth in times of temptation and error and other things. I have fought the good fight. So he puts fighting together. I have finished the course. He puts it together with the running illustration. And the time of my departure is come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And then what? Henceforth, now, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. The blessing, the goal, the reward comes to those who endure. And so we want to talk this morning about areas of endurance. Areas in our life as a Christian. It's like farming. It's like running. It's like soldiering. It takes endurance. Don't give up. I was asked recently, could you do a lesson on not giving up? And we need that. What are some areas of endurance? Number one, coming to Jesus. There may be someone that needs to be converted and come to the Lord even this morning. Don't give up. The devil's going to try to keep you from obeying the gospel. Just coming to Jesus at the very beginning takes endurance. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 22, the devil's going to try to keep us from being converted. We hear gospel sermon after gospel sermon. We've got to keep all the way through. He went through preaching and teaching, Luke 13, 23. The disciples asked him, Lord, are there few that are saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in by the narrow door. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Strive to enter in. He's talking about coming to him. The word striving there means to work hard at. There are going to be people, and the devil especially, that don't want us to be converted to the faith. I think about in Acts, look at Acts chapter 13, when Paul went to the island of Patmos and he's trying to get Sergius Paulus to be converted. This man named Elymas tried to keep him from obeying the faith. He tried to turn the proconsul away from the faith. He didn't want him to be converted. And he was the son of the devil, Paul said. An enemy of all righteousness. He sought to turn the proconsul from the faith. He didn't want him to be converted. Just coming to Jesus. You've got to press all the way through until you're baptized into Christ. But after we've been obedient in following the Lord, it's going to take some endurance. He's going to say some things that are going to challenge us as disciples. Turn with me to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, there were those who had come to Jesus, but they didn't want to stay with him. And so after we come to Jesus, we've got to show some endurance. He's going to say some things. He's going to require some things of us that demand endurance. Assembling every first day of the week, reading our Bible, praying, contributing, taking the Lord's Supper, being obedient. And so we find in Jesus' statement in John 6, verse 66, Jesus is talking about discipleship, and you've got to come after me and follow me and put your all in me. Upon this, verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Look at that, many. We're not just talking about a handful. There were many that were affected by the devil. Just give up, just quit. Many, many are like that, and many are like that today in the world. We've got to take some endurance. Jesus is going to say some things like he did on that day. Look back with me at John chapter 6. Back up and get the setting here. In verse 22, many had followed Jesus because he fed the 5,000, and they were coming looking for more food, John 6, 22. And they followed him across the lake to get more food. Jesus said in verse 26, you seek me not because you saw signs. They weren't moved by the miracle to believe in him, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. That's all they wanted. And so later in the chapter, when he starts getting to the meat of the word, I'm going to talk about what it means to be a disciple. Well, I don't want that. I'm out of here. So they walked back and left him. A lot of times people are drawn to come to worship by fun and food and recreation. And we talked about even last week, Easter weekend, how people were offering free cars and free gas and this and that. People are brought in by material things, earthly things, worldly things. But then when they sit and hear the Word of God, well, I don't want that. I don't want to walk anymore with Jesus with that. It takes endurance to stay with Jesus. And so look at what he says in verse 27. Work. There's your endurance. Work not for the food which perisheth, but for the food which abideth unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you. What is that? His words, his teaching. And some of that would come later in the chapter as he tries to teach them. That's what they need to work for. Bible study. Turn with me to Acts 17. Comment was made to me recently, a good comment about, you know, it takes endurance and steadfastness with regard to Bible study, to get our Bible study lesson, to come to Bible class, to learn, to dig in. And that's a good point. It does. Some don't want to do that. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Thessalonians are noble. The Bereans are more noble than those in Thessalonica, because they examine the Word. They examine the Scriptures with readiness of mind. Let's dig in. Let's examine the Word. Let's study our Bibles. Let's get our Bibles open. Let's learn what words mean. Let's learn the context of a passage and that type of thing. What was the result? Verse 12. Many therefore believed. Look at it. When we do the work, we get the fruit. So the work, verse 11, examining the Scriptures. The fruit, verse 12, we believe, we obey the Gospel. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We've got to study. And that's where the reward comes. And we all have different levels of Bible knowledge, but we're all here to learn. We're going to dig in and we're going to learn more. Just a couple of weeks ago in Bible class, a comment was made, and I thought, you know, boy, that's good. I learned something. We all learn in Bible class. We all learn from others. We can all learn by even studying Scriptures that we've known for some time. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example to them that believe in word and in manner of life and love and faith and purity. Till I come, give heed to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. Dig in and study and read the Scriptures and learn it. And then look at verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to your teaching, continuing these things, for in doing this you will save both yourself and them that hear thee. When we dig in and read and study, we're going to save ourselves. We're going to be able to save others from that study as well. Marriage and parenting. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. Look, it takes endurance. Marriage is challenging. Parenting is challenging. Many people today are giving up on marriage. Many people today are giving up on parenting. It's just too hard. No, it can be done. It must be done. That's the godly way. That's God's will. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, with regard to wives and husbands, it's challenging. It's challenging as a husband to be sacrificial as Christ sacrificed the church. The male personality tends to be, you know, I'm a go-getter, and this is what I got to get done, and this is the way it's going to be, and we're going to be out there, and that's a good quality. With that, we have to temper with that sacrificial love for our mate. The wife, the submissive respect for her husband. And so both of those things involve challenges and endurance, and we've got to keep moving forward and not giving up on that. Raising children, chapter 6 and verse 4, to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That takes challenges. And as they grow through different stages, little children are different from junior high, and they're different from high school, and they're different from college. They all go through different stages, and each stage has challenges. Each stage has worries, has lessons that have to be taught. And we've got to stay in there and stick with it and not give up on that. Many husbands and wives are saying, well, you know, divorce is the easy answer. Let's just get out. And of course, that's against God's will. And just let somebody else raise the kids. Let somebody else worry about them. Let somebody else take care of them, society or friends or whatever. That's not God's will and God's way. In verse 4 of chapter 6, fathers, nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. And we're busy. We've got work. We're busy. But we have to be in there as well. We hear a lot about deadbeat dads and things like that. We're just going to skip the scene. We're just going to run out. We're just going to let somebody else worry about them. It takes endurance to stick with that. We've got 18 years, roughly, to get it right. And we've got to work hard in those years. And when we make mistakes, recover from that and stay in there. We all make mistakes as parents, as husbands, as wives. Learn from that, move forward, stay in there, don't give up. The reward is in the end, when you see your children grow up to obey the gospel and become godly Christians. And when you find yourselves saved as well. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 with regard to husbands and wives, chapter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge or understanding, giving honor unto the weaker vessel, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, as being joint heirs of the grace of life. That's what we want. We want to go to heaven together. Joint heirs of the grace of life. Stick with it. It's challenging. It's difficult. But the rewards are in the end. You know, it's hard to be a leader with regard to elders in particular. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I hear elders wanting to give up. It's hard. A lot of times they're not appreciated for their work. Folks don't want to follow them. It takes areas of endurance. We need godly men to grow up and be elders. And in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, we find the qualifications of elders. It's hard being in a leadership position. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's use Moses as an example. Do you realize the endurance that Moses had to have to lead thousands and thousands of Israelites? Do you realize that? Leadership roles are difficult. Man, you're out there on the front line. All the attention's on you. It seems like all the criticism gets focused on you. If something goes wrong, well, all the blame is on you. It's very difficult to be in a leadership position, and that's what elders are in. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. What did he endure? What's that verse talking about? Leaving Egypt and leading a band of Israelites through the wilderness, he endured. You look at all of that, and yet all the complaining from the get-go as soon as they crossed the Red Sea. Complaining. All the trials and the tribulations, he went through that to get them to the edge of Canaan land. Joshua takes them on in. Joshua had to endure things as a leader. It's very difficult, but the reward is for those who are willing to go through that. Service positions require leadership. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 now, look at the matter of deacons. There are godly men who serve in the local church, and they get those tasks that a lot of brethren don't even know about. They don't know that they're doing those behind-the-scenes tasks. That takes a lot of endurance. Hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do that? Can you take care of this? Can you take care of that? And I've been in situations. And we've had deacons here. We need to work toward getting our elders and deacons back as we have opportunity. But I've been in situations where, visiting other congregations and things where I hear the elders saying to the deacons, hey, can you take care of this? Can you take care of that? There's a lot of work that goes on. And there's a lot of endurance that goes along in service activities, because service activities, a lot of them just involve rolling your sleeves up and getting your hands dirty. But look at 2 Timothy 3. 13, for they that have served well as deacons gain to themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ. See, there's always a good fruit that comes at the end of those who are willing to endure. I think about preaching. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, I think about godly gospel preachers. Larry's father, who's passed from this life, and others who endure very difficult things. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:8, be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer hardship with the gospel. Look at that. Suffer hardship with the gospel. There's a lot that a gospel preacher has to go through. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's interesting how this word endure is used. Do you know that some people won't endure? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine. There's some people who won't hold on and hold through and bear through sound teaching. I want something new. I want something fun. I want the message to be changed and entertaining. I don't want to endure sound doctrine. I want to change it up. But verse 5, you suffer hardship. Twice in this book, he says, suffer hardship as a preacher. It's difficult. It's difficult. I appreciate the encouragement that I get here. A lot of times, brethren say to me all the time, in prayers and in other comments, encouraging words, that is extremely helpful. There are gospel preachers that almost stand by themselves. They stand alone. They stand in difficult situations. There's gospel preachers in the Philippines and other places preaching under very difficult circumstances and under physically threatening circumstances, especially those that are preaching in Muslim areas. It takes a lot of endurance to keep pressing on, suffering hardship. What about personal struggles? Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. We sang this morning, and I appreciate Larry leading the singing, a couple of songs dealing specifically with temptations. Listen, temptation is very challenging. It's very difficult. It takes a lot of endurance. There are things that happen in the body and in the mind that are very strong in nature. And Jesus is talking to Peter here on the night of the fact that Peter is going to betray him. And look at this. Simon, Satan asked to have you that he might sift you as wheat, shake you up and get you to fall. Remember how this lesson began? The devil wants you to give up. This is another verse telling us what the devil wants. He wants to sift us as wheat. But I have made supplication for you that you fail not. I don't want you to give up. When once you have turned again, establish your brethren. When did Peter do that? He did that on the day of Pentecost. Peter didn't give up completely. He denied the Lord. That was wrong. He shouldn't have done that. But he didn't completely give up. He came back. And on the day of Pentecost, he got back in the ballgame. And he was strong. There's going to be personal struggles. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Sexual temptation, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. There are things that tempt us. What tempts one person doesn't tempt the other person, and vice versa. We all have weak spots in our armor. And we've got to be mindful of that. And when that comes, bear through that. There is no temptation, no temptation that is overtaken you, but such as man can bear up under. It's the same word used elsewhere as endure and be steadfast. Here, bear up under. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation make also the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Here's another area where we've got to just keep going on. Things happen in the body, in the mind, that are very strong. But you've got to turn to things that will help you. Prayer. I will tell Jesus. Prayer. Bible study. Talking with other brethren and getting through that. And James says in James chapter 1 that when we go through those temptations, we will have the blessed result at the end. Persecution is another area. And we may see even more and more of that in our country. Paul talks about, we'll just look at one of many passages that are reflective of this in the New Testament. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. In the first century, it often involved physical persecution ending in death. But when people say and do things against Christianity, and we're seeing more and more of that today, we've got to bear up under that and go through that. In Romans chapter 5, it will make us a better person in the end. All endurance leads to the person being better in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in your tribulations, there's your persecution, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness, and steadfastness approvedness, and approvedness hope. One version says that tribulation works steadfastness, and steadfastness character. I like that. We become a better character. We become a better person. So many passages talk about enduring under persecution. One other one, and then we'll move along. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Again, today in our country, it's not so much being killed for being a Christian, although it may lead to that. But we are persecuted in other ways, and we've got to bear up under that. verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were enlightened, that is, after you obeyed the gospel, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Verse 39, we are not of them that shrink back. The devil wants us to get up and give up, but we're not like that. We're not going to shrink back to perdition. We're not going to be lost, but of them that have faith into the saving of the soul. The context here is persecution. In verse 34, some of their possessions were taken and so forth. We have to keep bearing up under that. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, John says that we must be faithful even unto death, even unto the point of death. And then, John says, you will receive a crown of life. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Here's another area of endurance where people just want to throw up their hands and quit. And that is being unified with our brethren. And we're seeing so much of this today, brethren, where the devil is getting brethren to quit. Let's no longer be unified. Let's divide the church. Let's just give up. Let's just close the doors. Let's just shut down the church house. And let's just either go somewhere else or don't go anywhere at all. The devil is killing so many brethren with this point right here. Division among otherwise godly brethren and brethren that had sit beside each other for years. Now we're going, well, let's just give up. The word endurance used here, it's translated a little bit different, but it's the same idea of endurance. Ephesians 4:2, that we're to have all lowliness and meekness with long suffering, forbearing. This is the word translated elsewhere, to endure or bear up under. Forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit. Do you know sometimes that when brethren say and do things of an opinion nature or just little things, we've got to work through that. We can't just at the drop of a hat, well, I'm out of here. We forbear one another. Comments that are made, things that we might want of a personal nature, an opinionated nature, if they're in the realm of judgment, fine. We work together. We don't just have to drop that to see how quick we can break up. So in the area of unity, it takes forbearance and endurance. And look, no doubt you have to put up with me. You have to put up with me and things that I might say or do or opinions, things like that. It's all a part of being unified. I'll just use me as an example, not to step on anybody else's toes. You got to put up with me. Well, we do that with all of our brethren to keep working forward, keep moving forward. Endurance, so that we can have that goal in the end. Abstaining from worldliness. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 10. In the first century, Christians were pressured, especially with not only the Greek and the Gentile worldliness, but also the Roman worldliness, the false gods being tempted to bow down to the Roman emperor. And the context of Revelation 13 is Christians that are being influenced by the Roman worldliness. Look at Revelation 13 and verse 10. The context, if you back up a few verses, is talking about those who bow down and worship the false gods of the Roman emperor and so forth. Verse 3. But verse 10, if any man shall be killed with the sword must he be killed. Here is the endurance, the patience of the faith of the saints. Back up to verse 3, they worship the dragon, the devil. They're not going to cave into that worldliness. They're going to have the endurance and the faith of the saints. Look at chapter 14 and verse 12. It's the same context. If you look at chapter 14 and verse 9, people are bowing down and worshiping the beast. That's the worldliness, the false gods, the false idolatry of the Roman religion and things of the first century. Look at verse 12. Here is the endurance of the saints, that they keep the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus. We've got all kinds of worldliness around us, and we've got to endure where we won't cave in and give in to that. Combating error. Look at chapter 2. Ephesus is encouraged. Don't give up. And it's hard sometimes. It'd be easier just to give in and give up and just go along with the errors of the world today. Errors on marriage and divorce. Errors on the second coming. Errors on the plan of salvation. Errors on the work and the worship of the church. All kinds of errors floating around. It'd be easy just to give up. And that's what the devil wants. No, we're going to keep preaching book, chapter, and verse. Look at verse 2, Revelation 2:2. I know thy works and thy toil, and thine endurance, And you cannot bear evil men. You tried them that called themselves apostles and found that they are not. You endured. You kept holding on to the truth. You wouldn't let error exist. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, look at Revelation 2:19. We also have to have endurance in growth. When we come up out of the waters of baptism, we have to grow. We have to grow in our knowledge of the Scriptures. That takes time, studying the Word of God. We have to grow in our maturity, how we act with other brethren and get along with other brethren. We have to grow in a lot of areas. We might have to grow with regard to our own personal character. We might have to grow with regard to these temptations that we talked about earlier. But growing is a process. We're not going to give up on that. Look at Revelation 2:19. Thyatira had their problems, believe me. But one good thing they had in their favor, Jesus says, I know thy works. Look at this. I know thy works. And thy love, and thy faith, and thy ministry, and patience, that thy last works are more than the first. They were growing. The last was more than the first. They were growing. What was the result of that? Endurance, patience, steadfastness. These are areas that we need to grow in. God doesn't give up on us. Let's not give up on God. God has always shown from the very beginning that He will be there. He's not going anywhere. He's steadfast. The Old Testament talks about faithfulness, which is a Hebrew word talking about steadfast love. He's not going anywhere. Let's not give up on Him. The great reward, the good things come to those who don't give up. In the parable of the sower in verse 18, the fruit, the hundredfold fruit comes because that seed was planted in a heart, and it says a good and honest heart with endurance. With endurance, with patience. Romans 2:17, the patience, the endurance that a Christian has, they will have eternal life in glory. James 1:12, James says, blessed are those who endure, they receive the crown of life. The reward comes to those who don't give up. Whether it's Bible class, whether it's some other area that we've been talking about this morning, don't give up. Marriage, raising our children, whether it's with someone else or by ourselves, we might have to do that by ourselves. And we feel for those who have to raise children by themselves. And we're here to help you. Sometimes a person might have to raise a child as a single parent. That's difficult. That's hard. Men, you think about being an elder down the road. You think about being a deacon down the road. It's going to be hard work. It'll be a great reward. And you're going to have to endure a lot as a leader or as a servant. Young men, think about preaching the gospel. It's hard work. But it serves as a great service for the Lord and a great reward in the end. And there are many things that we've discussed this morning that involve endurance. And the great reward at the end is the hope of heaven. If we can encourage you in that matter of endurance, we're here along those lines. There may be someone that needs to respond to the gospel this morning. You know what you need to do to be saved. Do you know that it takes endurance to come forward? The devil wants you to stay right there. The devil wants you to just hold on to the back of the pew. Don't come forward. Try to keep you from obeying the gospel. Well, if I can get him to give up this time, then I can get him to give up next time. And we just give up. Don't let him win. You come forward, you obey the gospel, you make your life right. If there's a child of God that's erred in some way, don't let the devil keep you from coming back. But all of us, I'm encouraged that I believe I'm surrounded by faithful brethren here who are just keeping on, keeping on. They just want to keep pressing through, and I'm encouraged by that. And we invite people in the community to come and be with a group that endures and presses on. You know, that mentality is not for everybody. Some people don't want that. When they hear that, well, I might have to keep on keeping on, well, that's not for me. But you know what? I believe there's people out in the community that want that. They're looking for that. They desire that. And we're here to be a group that just keeps pressing forward. If we can assist you in any way, why won't you come and we stand and sing?